It's the moment the hockey world's been waiting for. Ben Hutton versus Gustav Forsling. Let's go!
Your Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yeah, that's right. You got two former Canucks left in the dance. You also got two good-looking dudes here talking a little Canucks. It's Begsy and it's Bowen, and you're listening to Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, because Kyle and I got shows coming out 5 days a week. Going to have to figure this out with my baby due at any moment here, but we will figure it out. Before we get into the show, I want to remind you to download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Coming up on today's show, Kyle and I do want to take a look at the Stanley Cup Finals from a couple of petty Canucks fans. Also in the second segment, Ross Colton, is he a realistic target for the Canucks as the third line center? But let me introduce someone who was a star third line center for his ball hockey team, Kyle Bowen. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I was a star third-line center, more like a Chris Kunitz type of player, you know? I was best when playing with the best players and kind of mediocre when I wasn't. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs, Locked On Canucks. This episode may get really sad, and I'm going to do my best to not be pessimistic and just look at the Stanley Cup final as an NHL fan. But again, the Vancouver Canucks fan in me might take over, and again, I might get really, really, really sad. I wonder what the people watching this want from the Stanley Cup Finals. Who do you want to win the Stanley Cup Finals? Let us know in the comments below. Speaking of which, we'll get to your comments from the last episode at the end of the show. Florida, the Golden Knights of Vegas. These two teams are going to have the chance to get themselves out of that club, right? Out of that club full of those teams who have never won the Stanley Cup. Vegas already has a chance to do that. And Florida, I would say undeservingly, based on attendance and care over the last couple of decades. You know what I'm saying? This all being said, again, NHL cap fan on, you know, let's look at it from an NHL perspective. I think Matthew Tkachuk winning the Stanley Cup is great for hockey. I'll start it off like that. Who you got here, man?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, you know, we talked about it, I think earlier in the week. You know, Matthew Tkachuk, again, maybe not the second best player in the NHL, but might be the second most important player in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Because he brings that personality. He brings that pizzazz that has been lacking in hockey for quite some time. So, I think Matthew Tkachuk would be good for the game. I also think Florida winning could be good for the game as well. Ooh. Just because, again, a market like that, one of the saddest franchises in NHL history, is and not just because of the fan base. I know I've ripped on that fan base enough here on the network, but just because they've been a terrible franchise for most of their existence, aside from a surprise run in the Stanley Cup Finals back in 1996. So, yeah, maybe a Stanley Cup win can invigorate that market. Again, they got one of the most marketable players in the game on that team as well. I also would be picking Vegas to win the Stanley Cup, though, over the Florida Panthers. And I think, yeah, from a petty Canuck fan point of view, I would imagine that most people would be cheering for Florida just because they're not a division rival. Roberto Luongo is there. But there's just something that really bothers me about a team like the Florida Panthers with a pretty small, sad fan base going to celebrate a Stanley Cup before the Vancouver Canucks. I know Vegas has not been around that long, and it's been easy to support that team from day one because they've been good since day one. But I do admire all the bold moves they've made. Mark Stone, again, one of my favorite NHLers, not on the Vancouver Canucks. So I'd be picking Vegas in, let's see a nice long series. I'm going to go Vegas in seven.
Again, I started this off by saying I think Matthew Tkachuk winning a Stanley Cup is great for the game. Do I think he's going to do it? Did I think the Panthers were going to be Boston, Toronto? No. And I'm getting older. Already got pretty old a couple weeks ago, turned 30. I'm trying to forgive a lot, okay? Forgive myself and also forgive those around me that hurt me. Luongo. I got to cheer for the guy. I want this guy to raise the cup. You never know when you're going to get back there. Look at Luongo. Went there once and had to wait till he became a front office person to get back. Trevor, you mentioned the small fan base out of Florida. You mentioned them as being sad. We're petty because in this instance, size does matter. Size does matter, and the lack of quantity in that fan base is making us believe that fan base sucks. But we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, how ironically it probably means that the core fan of the Florida Panthers is actually like an elite super fan, because think about what they've had to go through, right? Bad hockey, and also not a lot of support around you, nobody to vent to because you're kind of alone. So again, the people, like the 10 to 20 to 30,000 people that are really invested in the Panthers, I'm actually happy for them. But comparison is the thief of joy. And being in Vancouver, Stanley Park, you got a park, Nate. Come on, Stanley Park. Being in Vancouver, being an NHL fan for so long, and understanding that the Canucks have never done so, and that's won a Stanley Cup, is making me uncomfortable. Being happy for that fan base, but I am gonna have to do it and put my allegiance with Luongo and the Panthers. I think the Panthers win in seven games.
Wow, we're both going seven. I hope that one of us is right with the seven game prediction, because I've said this for years. You know, often in Stanley Cup finals, like when you don't have a huge rooting interest, like I don't really care either way who wins. I probably put my weight and my money behind Vegas. But at the end of the day, I don't care that much who wins.
Yeah,
no, not the boldest best take for a podcast, but
okay. Yeah, well, basically,
really give two a rat's.
Okay,
ass. Yeah.
Let's try to care though, and
okay,
I think there is some substance in that statement. Again, I'm going to say it for the third time: Matthew Tkachuk winning a Stanley Cup is good for the game. We need the game to get better and get noticed more. And Matthew Tkachuk is just that guy. You talked about the snarl. The enthusiasm, the entertainment value. The dude's got a boatload of skill too. He's just a damn good hockey player. And he could very well be the face of the NHL this summer if he wins a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to back it up next season as well, because he's a gamer, and we've actually seen this since he got to the league. And he got to the league when he was 18 years old. This guy's never going to turn it off. So maybe having all the lights on him is great for the NHL. You know, we talked about McDavid, right? If McDavid won the cup, more lights on him. He's such a spectacular athlete, an elite athlete in his position. He can put on a show. He can marvel. He could really change the game. More McDavid being shown in highlight reels and packages and winning is great for the game. Maybe the second guy on that list is actually Matthew Tkachuk, because, again, he does all the things. He collects the points. He's been doing that for years. He has a bit of a story. He has a brother who's in the league. His dad was great hockey. There's a story. There's a lot of substance there. And then individually, he's Matthew Tkachuk. And we already know this guy can very well sell the game. And I think he wants to, too.
Yeah. I mean, he was the X factor against Carolina, right? I think the sweep was very deceiving. A lot of fans know that. It was 4-1 goal wins by the Panthers. And Matthew Tkachuk had the winning goal in three of those games. So, yeah, he could certainly be the difference in this series. So, I don't know. Even though I don't really care who wins, I just want to see good hockey. I'd like to see a memorable series, a long series, a hard-fought series. I hope it's not a sweep. I hope we got some memorable moments, some moments that bring us out of our seats, right? Because that's what sports is all about at the end of the day. So we'll see if Matthew Tkachuk is the guy to pull it off. One cool story here I wanted to share. I heard it on another podcast, but apparently Brady Tkachuk is getting married this summer, and two of his groomsmen are Mark Stone and Matthew Tkachuk. So wow. I think, you know, no matter what's going to happen, the bachelor party this summer for Brady Tkachuk is going to be pretty sick for sure with Mark Stone and Matthew Tkachuk hanging around.
Oh, it's
so
going to be a
interesting little storyline there.
It's going to be a battle between those two players as well. And it's, you know, we spent most of this time, you know, we split the picks. You know, you think Vegas is going to win. I think Florida is going to win. But we didn't really spend any time talking about the Golden Knight players. And they got great players, fantastic players. Mark Stone is top 15. When he's on his game, he's top 15, he's top 12. He's that impactful, but just not as quote-unquote sexy as Matthew Tkachuk, right? It's It's like a that Marian Hossa type of player, but probably better. Ah, that's tough.
Marian Hossa more pure skill, but I think Mark Stone's more well-rounded. Yeah. That's what I've always appreciated about Mark Stone, is the guy's just incredible defensively. And he puts up the points as well. So, yeah, love that greasy flow. It would be cool. I think it'd be cool to see him win a cup, but I'm probably in the minority in terms of Canuck fans there. And maybe it's to tie it up with the Canucks. A couple quick points here. Again, I said off the top, Ben Hutton versus Gustav Forsling. Gustav Forsling, obviously a huge part of that team. Ben Hutton right now, if the Vegas Golden Knights were to win, would not get his name on the cup unless the Golden Knights made some special exception. You basically have to play in half of your team's regular season games, which Ben Hunt did not do. He played in 31 games. Or you have to play in one Stanley Cup Finals game. So Ben Hunt would have to play one game in this series, which he's played two games so far all playoffs.
They'll make an exception. 31 is a lot. Are they? 31's not seven. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see, man.
If the benchmark is half, 41, 31 is... He's got to get his name on
three quarters of the way to halfway.
it's just.
Oh man!
I know. I think I'm rooting for the possibility of that because, he just seems like a good dude, man. Good dude, Ben Hutton, man. Always smiling and smiling. Smiling heals wounds, man. This weekend's coming up. Yeah. Anyone watching this? Anyone listening to this? Do your best to smile a little bit more, because why not? Why not?
Why not? I just want to give Ben Hunt a bit more love quickly here. The guy played 468 regular season games by the end of this season. The two playoff games that he's played were the first two postseason games of his career. Congrats to Ben Hunt. He's been grinding it out for a long time. Wasn't quite the top four stud we thought he might be during his first year in Vancouver, but he's grinded it out. And then lastly, from Canucks' perspective, I don't know if there's many takeaways from the way Vegas built their roster. Just because, you know, they were able to use so much leverage and be so bold. Being bold might be the big takeaway for the Canucks. Again, they were bold with the Hronek trade. So you could say that they took a page out of Vegas' notebook there. But in terms of Florida, lots more lessons for the Canucks. You know, make sure you don't sign guys to stupid contracts. Florida's done a pretty good job of that, goaltending aside. And make sure you do your research and take good dart throws, because Florida's been able to unearth a lot of good players by finding undervalued guys, bringing them into the team, and giving them an opportunity. And I think that's a major, major takeaway that Patrick Galvin and the Canucks need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. And pray to get lucky, because the Panthers
and
got
pray.
Lucky. And pray, man, for real.
Yeah,
it's just the truth, 100%. So much, luck involved, yeah. You know, just going back to, I know we have to cut the break here, but just going back to game 7 against Boston, you know, I totally forgot that this team was a minute away from getting eliminated.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy, right? And
if Chicago doesn't beat Pittsburgh in the regular season at the end, this doesn't even happen. So a lot of luck, man. But when you give the best an opportunity to do something, the possibility can happen, right? The impossibility is no longer, just cemented. You know, when Matthew Tkachuk had a runway, you know, he just had to get in. You never know. The best can pull off the greatest things. Speaking of which, Locked On Canucks, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs, every day, your team every day, while the dude is about to have another child, and he's just in here committed. This guy should be cuddling his wife. But he's like, nah, I got to make an episode for the people, because he's one of the best. He performs. Trevor Beggs, take it away.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm a lucky guy. And one reason that I've been lucky in the past is that I've been able to find great last minute deals on Game Time. You know, I'm a big last minute deals guy, and I gotta say, Game Time, they know how to stroke my love for the last minute deals. Okay,
relax,
I get these
man.
Emails from Nicole at Game Time, and she's always teasing me with concerts and sporting events this week in my area. Not only are those weekly emails a tease, but Game Time also offers me flash deals on last minute tickets, and they offer the same to you. It's not just me, okay? It's for everybody. Hey, what's even better than the last-minute deals is that Game Time has a lowest price guarantee along with event protection cancellation. Now I have no choice but to get off my rear end and check out a show on a Friday night. Let me tell you a little bit about the Game Time guarantee. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you with 110% of the difference.
Whoa.
So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Locked On NHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code Locked On NHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
You're back. You're back on Locked On Canucks. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. Go Roberto Luongo. Go lift that cup. And Begsy's out here cheering for Mark Stone. The Ottawa connection. I get it, man. Begsy is a family man. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But right now, we got to talk about more important things. And that's a third line center, possibly McHoover, his new home. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So again, I think the Canucks are going to have to be creative this offseason in terms of finding their next third line center. And there's one guy who kind of jumps out to me, and that's Ross Colton of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not a perfect fit, but definitely a fit that intrigues me. So, again, we're talking Stanley Cup Finals here. It's the fourth year in a row that a Florida team, has been in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
And, it's crazy to think about, right?
Dude, I'm holding it together, man. I'm holding it together. The fourth straight year. I know Tampa did it three times, an outlier, but just to put that into consideration, because the beautiful province of British Columbia has only been there three times.
Yeah. Yeah. Life is unfair, man.
If you don't believe in the curse of the riots, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, man. For real. You know how we fix this, right? You know how we fix this. We make sure we're not littering on the beach this summer, okay? Not at all. We've already got one strike. One strike is enough. It's about to be sunny for a long period of time here. Throw your garbage. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, Ross Colton, big part of the Tampa Bay teams, kind of came out of nowhere, but Tampa Bay just does this, right? They let guys marinate in the minors, do their thing. They come to the NHL and they have success. And Ross Colton was exactly the same. So during their cup run in 2020, that season, Ross Colton got called up from the AHL. He scored 9 goals and 12 points in 30 games. And then in the Stanley Cup final, helped the Lightning beat the Habs in the finals there. He scored the cup winning goal as well. Not a bad rookie season. And since then, he's had two full seasons in Tampa Bay, and he's been a really solid bottom six center. So he's a guy I'm intrigued about. Again, not a lot of similarities between Tampa and Vancouver, but two of the similarities they do have is they're both in cap hell entering this offseason. So Vancouver, we talked about it before. Go check out that episode from earlier this week. The Canucks have the worst cap situation in the NHL. They're the only team over the cap heading into next season. The team with the second worst cap situation, arguably, at least in terms of the cap-friendly rankings, is Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay right now has $450,000 in cap space. They got, you know, a number of RFAs, UFAs, and one of those RFAs is Ross Colton, 26 years old. According to a couple of projections, I pulled one here from AFP. AFP's NHL contract projections has Ross Colton on a three-year deal worth $2.99 million. So 3 years, $3 million basically for Ross Colton. What do you think, Kyle? You've probably seen Ross Colton a bit in the Stanley Cup Finals. Are you intrigued by this fit? And do you think it's at all possible that the Canucks could get Ross Colton out of a cap-strapped Tampa Bay Lightning team?
I think it's possible. We've already explained many times over the last couple of days how this team can create cap space. And I think when they do, that's going to be one of the second places they look to use their money, because I think when it does open up there's a good chance that they kind of just focus on Pedersen right away. They do one thing at a time, but as soon as that gets finished or they make some movement to get a better understanding of where this is going, I think they will immediately go to the third line center spot. If you're asking me what's more important, another top four D-man or a third line center, obviously I'm going to pick the top four D-man, but I just think this team finding a lot of cap room is not a possibility. And if that's the case, they're going to use their money and the amount of it pretty much only on a third line center. Not going to have room to do it all. So again, I do think there's a possibility of getting this done. Where's my mind going here, man? Where's my mind going here? Ross Colton, man, you know where it's really going? I hope that whoever the Canucks get, because that dollar amount, 2.9, it kind of is similar, but not similar to Jason Dickinson money, you know? And they need to nail it. They need to hit it on the head. The professional scouting for this team needs to be spot on this summer. And it needs to be spot 100%. On with Hronek too. But again, if they make a move like this, they sign a third line center 3 years. They spend less than $3 million. Please don't be a Jason Dickinson type player slash a player who's going to potentially put that output. I know a lot of things need to go wrong for that to happen, but it's scary. It's traumatizing, man.
Yeah, 100% it is, right? And like you said, Canucks fans have been down this road before, thought we had the third line center in place, and it definitely wasn't a fit. Now, Ross Colton, he's definitely a more exciting player. He's got more offensive pop than Jason Dickinson. I think he's done well in a matchup role in Tampa Bay as well. Played against some tough players. He's held his own in, you know, multiple playoff series for Tampa Bay. The one big knock on Ross Colton, though, doesn't kill penalties and has not killed penalties at the NHL level. So, you know, I was, you know, as I'm doing my research on Colton, I'm like, you know, I love this guy as a target, but the fact that he doesn't kill penalties on a team that desperately needs a center to kill penalties is a pretty big knock for me. And because of that, I'm not sure exactly, you know, because the Canucks pretty much require him in a trade. I know it's an option to offer sheet him as an RFA. He would fall in that category of being, the Canucks would be, have to give him a second round pick if they sign Ross Colton. He's in that neighborhood of like kind of two-ish to four-ish million.
Jason Dickinson.
Exactly. Jason Dickinson was a third, so it was a little cheaper than the offer sheet route, but almost the same. But the Canucks can't offer sheet him. They don't have their second round pick in this year's draft. So that's off the table. It would have to be a trade. And maybe I'll throw this out to you quickly.
Well, you sounded like a robot for the last 30 seconds. So I'm assuming you brought up how Nils Höglander could be somebody that the Canucks use to acquire the rights to negotiate slash the player Ross Colton. And I think that's definitely in the playbook. And I haven't really thought much about that over the last couple of weeks. I know you brought it up during your time at the studio, but maybe Höglander is the sweetener, you know? Giving up picks is scary. And essentially, giving up Höglander is kind of sort of related to giving up picks as well. But it would be a testament to see that happen, because I think that would ultimately mean, of course, that the franchise just kind of gave up on him. Höglander, yeah. Ross Colton, maybe. Could happen, man. Because Höglander kind of fits the bill of a player that Tampa could really squeeze a lot out of.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I might have said that when I was in robot mode there. But, you know, honestly, I would like a Höglander for Colton trade if Colton was an established penalty killer. But because he's not a penalty killer, I just don't think he's a perfect fit. And again, he's not coming at a massive bargain. I think, you know, around $3 million for what he is fair, but it's not a bargain. So if it was Höglander for Colton straight up and I was the Canucks, I would say no, but I would certainly think about it.
Yeah. I love it, man. Ross Colton talk, a lot of Florida hockey talk here on Locked On Canucks. Kyle Bowen, Trevor Bags. I'm sure we're going to be talking more and more about potential third line center targets in June. We're not going to be recapping every Stanley Cup final game. That's not what we do here, okay? Come on, for the people. It's a West Coast bias show, man, for real. Begsy, take it away, man. You're back on Locked On Canucks. Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen. Trevor Beggs went in and out of the stream. You know, he's doing everything for the people, man. Doing the most to make sure things are crispy towards the end of the show. Maybe that's just a sign for us to really wrap this thing up and just enjoy the weekend. And maybe it's also a sign that Begsy, man, you need to rest, okay? Take some time off this weekend, okay? Because the sleep is going to be so invisible in this thing called your life pretty soon. And it's a fortunate thing. I know I could have said unfortunate, but, you know, it really is a fortunate thing, a really beautiful thing.
It is.
One love to Begsy. One love to Begsy, man.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's we'll see what happens. It's I'm expecting that call at any time. It could be today. It could be,
Man.
2 weeks from now. Although my wife doesn't want to hear that, but. You never know, man. I never know this stage of the game. But I think you put it best, man. Like, honestly, like, everyone talks about how tough it is with the newborn, how you don't sleep. But it's a beautiful thing, man. And it's a beautiful time in life. So I'm very excited. And it's a boy. And, you know, wifey and I picked up the name the other day, too, man. That was special.
Oh,
that was an emotional moment. So,
yeah man,
buddy. No,
Ross,
no spoilers,
man.
Here on Locked On Canucks. But the world will learn soon enough.
Yeah,
Ross. No, it's not Ross. Oh, my God.
Why not, man? Ross Beggs, man. Come on, man. You talk about Ross Colton a lot, man. So maybe it was
terrible
a sign.
Name.
Okay. Anyways, Comic Corner, the best part of the show, because the people really, really, really do matter. First comment goes to How do you say this name? Mookat?
Mookat 11.
Okay, who drafted Smilovs? I think you said, I meant to say Stilovs. Who drafted Stilovs, Pedersen, and Demko and Hughes, et cetera, et cetera? Oh, yeah, it's the guy that you've been trashing almost every episode, well, every fifth episode on this program, Jim Benning. Man. Oh, Jim Benning did not do good, you know, acquiring defensemen to help build this team. But apparently, according to this guy, he did a good job. He did a good job. Stilovs hasn't even played one NHL. Like, I know he's played one NHL game, a couple maybe, okay? So don't even bring him into that comment, okay? Don't even bring him into that comment. Please don't do it. Because World Championship MVP, it's cool, but you can't be bringing him into a comment defending Jim Benning. Not yet. Don't do it. You already lost. Thanks for watching, though, okay? Next comment. We got IQ, I think. We have to call this guy IQ. I watched Bear play, and he really didn't look good. He's not even worth the money he's getting paid now. Maybe the stats disagree with me, but nothing about his defensive or offensive play is impressive. He thought, well, Lallin, how do you say this guy's name again? Lallin looked a lot better than Bear. The Canucks' biggest problem is overpaying for players. Like I said yesterday, man, they got to win this Ethan Bear negotiation. They cannot overpay him. Honestly, until he really proves it, I feel as if they got to find a way to pay him at a number where he can exceed the value. It's something that all great sports teams do, and they need to do it with a guy like Ethan Bear. This negotiation is pretty important, and they got to win it.
Yeah, I do like Ethan Bear because, again, I think he's going to play on your top pair with Quinn Hughes, and you're going to get him at around $3 million. But he's certainly not a must-have for this team. And I will disagree with IQ a bit. Again, thanks for commenting, IQ. We appreciate you tuning in. I think Bear's not a flashy player, and Willannon's flashier than Bear. But I 100% think Bear was better last season than Christian Willannon. I think Christian Willannon had some shaky defensive moments and a sheltered role. I mean, he was fine overall. He held his own. But I don't think Christian Willannon's game was much to write home about. But I think Bear handled himself pretty well against tough competition. I mean, not a perfect player, but I did like what he brought from a transition standpoint alongside Quinn Hughes. So, again, like Kyle said, though, it's got to be the right number. You can't be overpaying a guy like Ethan Bear. This guy should be finding maybe a more of a bargain bin defender with more upside. And we can get into some of those names, too. I published a piece this week for Daily Hive about bargain bin defensemen. So, those guys are out there. Don't overpay Ethan Bear is definitely the main takeaway there.
Are you saying IQ needs to go to LensCrafters ASAP? Are you saying that he's blind?
I'm not shouting out LensCrafters. I'm not a sponsor of the show. I'll shout out Game Time. I'll shout out Bird Dogs.
Hey, there you go, man. Hey, we're spreading the love, man. Okay, it's Friday, man. It's sunny outside, and another week in the books. Locked on Canucks, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. All right? It's a beautiful thing, you know, this thing that we get to do, and that's talk to the people, talk to the city, the West Coast, the Best Coast, or wherever you're cheering for the Canucks from, you know? We're blessed, man, and you're about to get more blessed, and I'm sending you all the peace in the world. You know what? You get the outro here, man. Take the floor, man. You deserve it. It's all you. Locked on Canucks, baby.
All right.
Well, you like what I did there? Locked on Canucks, baby. You like what I did there? A little.
I see.
I didn't finish broadcasting school, you know?
Hey, I'm bringing the next fan of Locked on Canucks to the world. Well, my wife is. You know what I mean? Yeah, the next really fan of Locked on Canucks coming to the world at least some point in June here. But for now, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Locked on Canucks. Special shout out to the everydayers who have been with us somewhere from around March 1st and beyond. This is your first time tuning in. Welcome. Stay a little while because shows are coming out 5 days a week. At least we're going to try with me about to go on a little parental leave here. But coming up next week, you know, a couple more player reviews to get to, but I really do want to start diving into the draft. I've been scouring through the tape. I've been watching or reading the rankings, scouring through the tape. And also...
Trevor disconnected there. Really, it's tough out here, okay? The Wi-Fi... Did you get the text? Did you just run away from the stream? What's going on? Okay, Locked on Canucks, your team every day. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Follow us wherever you stream podcasts to, right? You don't got to watch us. You can go for a stroll and listen to us. And send all your love to Trevor in the comments below. And let's get out of here, okay? Another episode of Locked on Canucks, gone just like that. Peace.